You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Behind the Bullet film screening on Friday, October 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Multnomah Arts Center in Portland. The documentary film Behind the Bullet deepens awareness of untold stories from the U.S. gunfire epidemic. Director Heidi Heumann will be in attendance and answer questions after the film. There will then be a soul box procession into Multnomah Village. Again, that's Behind the Bullet film screening on Friday, October 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Multnomah Arts Center, 7688 Southwest Capitol Highway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a talk by Alex Vitale on Saturday, October 12th at the Dismantle Change Build Center in Portland. Alex Vitale, director of the Brooklyn College Policing and Social Justice Project, is the author of The End of Policing. He'll be speaking on how to reconstruct police culture and behavior and describe alternatives that remove the police from dealing with drug addiction, houselessness, sex work, mental health crises, and more. Again, that's Alex Vitale on Saturday, October 12th, 6 p.m. at the Dismantle Change Build Center, 14 Northeast Killingsworth in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
No facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sass, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. Should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track.
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians cuss at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to
spread yourself. Welcome back. It's Tuesday again. This is the wonderful Calculated Conversation Radio Show. I'm your host, David.
And Ken Jones.
That's right, back in the house.
How you doing, sir?
Things are working to my advantage.
I like it. Yeah. I like that jacket.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, one of my many addictions. Shopaholic. But in all fairness, it was only $20.
Hey, the favorite kind of 80, favorite kind of cops.
85% sale online. I couldn't afford to miss it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
How your week been?
Man, it was amazing. a lot of good stuff going on. You know, the events are still happening. You know, the movements is growing. I'm meeting a lot of people. Last Friday I did an office retreat, business networking event with Kiana Olson.
Okay.
It was pretty tight.
How was that?
It was pretty tight. You know, Rita Calloway was there from Style by Her. Me and her spoke to, you know, like a crowd of like 20 people, you know, asking questions about business, entrepreneurship, and what we've been through, and, you know, what would we change? What were some of the hardest parts? What was some, you know, what's some advice? And so we had a good time.
Yeah.
And I ended up meeting a few people there, you know, and that's why, I like showing up because I always meet good people, you know. So I met some really good business people that work for Miso, I think the name of the company.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's familiar. That logo stands out.
Yeah.
And I was trying to connect it earlier, but yeah, I'm not for sure where, but that logo is something I definitely know.
Yeah, it was pretty tight. Let me see if I got the card on me because, man, they got a lot of resources, bro.
Yeah. And so was this set up like just like a workshop? You guys are just, you know, just kind of sharing experiences? Was it a Q&A session or?
Well, what it was is just a major introduction. All right, were you talking about?
For the setup on Friday.
On Friday, yes. Yeah. It was more or less of people that are entrepreneurs or people that are interested.
Okay.
You know, and they was able to, you know, talk about just potential, you know, issues, potential things to expect, experiences just all surrounded by being an entrepreneur,
okay.
You know, the life, you know. It's a crazy life, man, so it's definitely worth talking about.
Okay.
But, I'll get that. I'll show you that information later, man. It's pretty cool, man. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm going to tell you about it a little bit later, but other than that, everything is still great, you know. I enjoyed doing the show off-site last week, you know what I'm saying? So I know we gotta do more of that, you know. A lot of people have been requesting that, and then we talked about putting the camera up and stuff so people can get the visual. So
make sure to get the content for the people.
Yeah, and I think they want to chime in that way, so I'm excited about that.
Which is dope, because that's, you know, I feel like this week we put out some questions.
We did.
And mingling with the people. Got a lot of people that listen, don't necessarily call in, but definitely have input. So we took it to the interwebs streets
right. This
week and set up things to kind of dance around the idea of how to heal or
right. The
ways to get over, you know, the end of a relationship.
Right.
And, you know, I thought about it on a bigger scale, just from, you know, romantic relationships, but just relationships in general, because we often talk about also
right. Having
a distance from friends, family, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with some of the feedback, it definitely applies to both sides of that.
Yeah.
Did you get some good stuff?
Yeah. There was a lot of different, there's a few different responses we got, which is cool, because I just feel like that's something that I just really feel like people really don't, a lot of people don't understand exactly how heartbreaks actually affect you, you know,
yeah. And
then especially ways to deal with them and get over them. I mean,
right. Most
people just usually just break down and disappear, you know, but I think there's certain ways that, you know, may be able to support them even a little bit better. That's why we get advice
right. From
everybody. And
right. Everybody,
I mean, the experiences are very, very vast.
Yeah.
So there's no right way to do it, first of all.
Yeah, no, right. So. And that was kind of the goal, is just to kind of see what people had and tossing it out and seeing if there was any common themes, you know, in the feedback. That was something I was trying to pay attention to.
Right.
And I realized, too, with, you know, as we talked about many a times, my socials is set up a way where half the time ain't nobody taking me serious. So when we get going, I feel like half the people be trolling, same way that I be doing it. And then, you know, you'll get some real answers in there. One thing I picked up is that people don't be paying attention to the details, because I know on one of them, I specifically said one thing, and I was getting whole resumes.
I seen that.
Or people being mystical with these too general of answers. But with all the fun in there, definitely did get some stuff that, you know, held some substance. Yeah. And before jumping into that, I came across something earlier today that kind of hit me like, yikes, that's a hell of a way to kind of sum up a thought. And it was a quote, and it said, a bird sitting on a tree is never afraid of the branch breaking, because our trust is not on the branch, but in its own wings.
Mm.
And that was Denzel Washington.
He said that?
Yeah. And I caught that and was like, yikes, that's heavy. Yeah. It's having that faith in self, and you're the things are the variable, you're the constant. Yeah. As long as being able to trust in you being a constant and understand that things going off around you shouldn't be where your worry is at, as long as you're grounded and solid in who you are and what you bring to the table.
Yeah, I think that's always, I mean, you know, in those situations, it's always easy. I mean, the easiest thing to do is to look external, you know, look for understanding and, you know, look for clarity and explanation, you know, mm-hmm. outside of yourself, you right. know. And I just think that's underestimating the power that we actually have as individuals to, you know, heal ourselves and to, you know, go through with the process, the healthy process, you know, mm-hmm. of actually, you know, getting over a tough situation. Because, you know, heartbreak is super weird.
Hey, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've been through it a couple of times, you know.
Right.
And I'll tell you, for me, it really changed the entire way I've dealt with the opposite sex.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily for me, it didn't put me in a position to where I'm completely closed off. But it put me in a position where I got to be a lot more specific,
right?
You know, with what I'm accepting and who I am, you know, what I'm looking for, or what I, you know, what I feel like I desire out of a partner, but also be clear and conscious on what I have to offer as a man,
right?
You know, I think right. a lot of people are focused on what they want as opposed to what they actually have to offer somebody, you know. And I think that's pretty selfish, you know. But, you know, one thing I would like to say is that, you know, before we get deeper into it, you know, I know that it's difficult getting over these situations. And I honestly do believe that there's a fence, you know. And, I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the last week's show. I kind of remember saying this, but I just want to reiterate that. There is a very fine line, you know, between, you know, protecting yourself from things that could be spiritually dangerous, you know, as opposed to staying available to things that can be, you know, spiritually, you know, great or encouraging, you know, and trying to, you know, narrow down, you know, what the criteria is or what the standards are, you know, and be honest with yourself about that.
Right.
Kind of no matter how you feel,
hey,
you know. And yeah. I think that's what's hard to do. But, you know, there's a fence where on one side of the fence, you know, you got people that just don't trust nobody at all anymore. You mm-hmm. know, they're just completely broken. They put all their faith in people and they just don't have the energy to even trust anybody, you know, even possibly the right people. And then on the other side, you got people who, you know, just so happy-go-lucky, and no matter how many times they get hurt, they just keep trusting everybody. You know what I'm saying? And they don't really have anything in place to protect them, you know, and to help them differentiate, you know, to what's good for them versus what's bad for them.
Right.
So, you know, and there's a line where you can actually, you know, if you're careful and if you really understand yourself, you know, and what your goals are, you know, and you're honest with that, you know, you can sort of organize it, I feel like, where you can protect yourself and you can help yourself simultaneously. But it's a very, very fine line, and it starts with complete awareness of self,
right,
you know,
right,
and goals,
right,
you know, before you get into any type of situation.
You know, it's interesting you brought this up, because on the drive over here, I was thinking about, I was on the gram, and I was noticing a bunch of like just searching hashtags and looking at different stuff.
Right.
And seeing, like, we in the meme culture, right?
That's right.
Memes are where people find a lot of strength and power and fun. What I come across a lot, and I think this is the Western culture thing, is where it's singular.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about, you know, it's me, yeah. I. Cut everybody off, focus on you, right?
Right.
And they say that in a broad way a lot of times, where it's not detailed. And you come across a lot of people who have been hurt, people who have dealt with whatever type of adversity, and they close off,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And that thing of trying to protect yourself from all things that you see as bad and negative, right, you're right. also protecting yourself from what's positive out there.
Exactly.
Right? And for me, it's like coming across the things that talk about loving as if you've never been hurt, you know, mm-hmm. doing these things. I find something admirable about those people who are able to kind of mm-hmm. bounce back in that same way without being so jaded.
Right.
Like that takes a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are certain people who are geared towards trying to see the best in people.
Right.
Seeing the
right.
good, because in my opinion, that's what they see in themselves.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. They see the good in themselves, so they project that onto people.
Right.
And they're continuously searching for that in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely running into those moments of bumping their head and mm-hmm. having to figure out that, you know, everyone isn't necessarily like you.
Right.
So that fine line of trying to walk, definitely for some people that are geared towards that way of operating, they're going to have to really sit with self, I think, right? Mm-hmm. My opinion
right.
is having to sit with self and understand, you know, how likely is it for you to come across you? Very slim, right? But it is likely that you can vet somebody with some of the same ideas and morals and, you know, just a certain makeup that match
right.
That are kind of in alignment with yours.
Mm-hmm.
That gets overlooked, I think, a lot in the beginning of dealing with people, and this is friends and so on, because you link on, and we talk about this all the time, like, and I feel like it's came up even more recent just in some off-air conversations of, you know, you link over these different, I don't want to use the word trauma, but you're linking over more negative aspects, right?
Right.
It's
yeah.
not the positive flow that you necessarily want, and people bond over that, and that's what everything is built off.
Exactly.
Is just the, you know, having the tales of everything wrong,
right?
As opposed to really trying to build something, building each other up, and that's the foundation. That's where I see a lot of things go crazy, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in that same situation,
right.
You know, speak from that with experience and understanding that time to really check in on self is vital, right?
Right?
Because there's people out here with bleeding hearts, and then they have a situation that breaks them down, and the way that people heal is not healing. It's just throwing something over top of it.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right.
And that's what we run into a lot.
Right.
And that was even with some of the feedback for the first question. How many people I had to put the caveat in there of like, besides sex.
Right, like, right, of course.
You know what I mean? Because that's what most people would default to.
Right.
And I get what you're saying,
yeah.
you know what I mean, for people, but that's where things get tied up.
Right.
You're already in this state of vulnerability, whether you recognize it being that or not. And then you add on that, you know, type of connection.
Right.
Of course, some people can rock it and it's not a second thought, but that's not the majority in my opinion, at least in my experience, right?
Right.
I have an opinion in my experience. So now you just added another layer onto it.
Right.
And if there's not some type of a clear understanding about where you're at and where they're at, that gets tricky. And now you're in another situation
yeah.
that's just building on top of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people not talking enough in the beginning.
Right.
You know, like the honeymoon stage is so fun. It's so exciting.
It's fresh.
Like it's so fiery. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to really think about those tough conversations yet, you know, and they don't happen until you get comfortable.
Hey.
And you realize, well, we got to talk about some other stuff that's more important than us, you know, sharing ice cream.
Hey.
You know, and massaging each other. But you know, and then
and then
that's when you start to see, oh wait, we way different in this area.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so it's just more conversations got to take place, you know. You know, and like you said, you know, just because you know, just, you know, people got bleeding hearts, you know, and just like a scar on the leg, you know, just because you cover it up with a Band-Aid don't mean it's not bleeding under there. It's not, right. It's not still hurting.
Right.
Just people can't see it. So a lot of times you got to just kind of deal with it and keep it open, fresh, and keep some Neosporin on it and let the air hit it and naturally get rid of it and let people see it going away as opposed to hiding it up front like you ain't got them scars, right? So, you know, I don't know, man. It's super tricky, but like you said, the whole singular thing, I really just think a lot of issues are coming from people being in relationships and not realizing that you have to think about two people. You know,
that's probably one of the hardest things ever. That as simple as that is, and how that seems common knowledge. Like the first time you said that, like I even took that, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like you think of the person, but then there's it depending on how you've been, and that's something that I've highlighted many times where I understand even for myself. Something I've been putting out a lot is like my ability to compartmentalize and separate things, right? And how that backfires.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild from you saying that the very first time, that phrase specifically has echoed through.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, people get frustrated when they feel like decisions are being made, you know, that affect their life or their relationship, and the effect on them is not even being considered.
Yes.
You know, like, and it's not even on purpose. It's just kind of natural. You know, people get in relationships and they naturally do things that only benefit the way that they think.
Yeah.
And they totally forget about, I've included somebody else in my whole life.
Right.
At this moment. So every decision has to reflect the interest of both parties involved. And people really, really just do not understand that, you know. And that's really what's breaking down people's faith in relationships, you know. And I know it's killed a lot of my situations because, like, I've rarely ever had anybody be actually really naturally considerate of me without having to have a long conversation about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's something you have to show people. You have to, you know, you have to teach people, and you have to hope that they open-minded enough to see the benefits. Because if I'm still having a conversation with you about this, that means I still care and I'm trying to repair,
right?
You know, or make back strong, you know. And the minute we stop talking about it is the minute I don't really care anymore, you know, because you've already proven that you have a, you know, in a relationship, but you have a single mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that you do benefit yourself, you know, right. And people, and it's not even on purpose. And that's the sad part, is really no one knows they're doing it. And until you bring it to their attention, you know, that's going to really tell you what type of person you're dealing with. Do they have the capacity of being able to look at things from a complete different point of view than what they was raised in or was normal to them?
Right.
That's the test.
Yeah.
So if you can't do that, then you kind of have to stay single, because, you know, being in a relationship is about relating, you know, and relating doesn't mean everything is going to be comfortable in what you normally used to. You know what I'm saying? And the information don't have to be super happy. It don't have to be super perfect. It just has to be real and official so that we have something we can work with. So it's like a lot of times, you know, when I have these conversations, you know, I get told often that, oh, you want people to be like you. And I'm like, no, what I really would like is just somebody to communicate who they are.
Hey.
I mean, the only way I'm asking you to, you know, sort of meet me is in communication, not in perfection or in being identical. Just give me information. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't even need to like it. I just need to know it.
Yeah.
You know, and the more I know, you know, the better decisions I can make for me and anybody that's involved or affected by any decision that I make.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I think they're just a lot complicated, you know, more than people think in the beginning. I think if you get over these parts in the beginning, and I think then you become easier. You start to naturally blend in with your partner because you guys both understand the importance of consideration and decision making, you know, whether they're present or not, you know, and that's the loyalty aspect of it.
Yeah.
And when that's lost, you know, then people think that you aren't loyal. They think you're lying. They think this, they think that. And now we're dealing with another toxic situation.
You know, I think that what you touched on, like that idea of getting into situations and essentially searching for you. Right.
Right.
And when people operate in a way that's not what you're familiar with, then it's seen as wrong. It's seen as weird. Not just seen as a different way of operating to try to worth trying to understand, right?
Right.
those initial conversations up front. I think about that all the time where, like, I've definitely been in the same whirlwind of just being caught up in what's going on and didn't necessarily have a plan and then just ended up there, right? But then also thinking of the relationships, and this is from friendships and romantic relationships, where did go into the deep end, you know, up front. I think that more of my friendships have definitely been set up and based and built off of that, right? But then even understanding over this past, you know, span of these couple years of becoming more understanding of who I am,
right,
and having to, wanting to undo some of the damage, right, from previous things and trying to move forward with that, right, and understanding that the key really is having these uncomfortable joints up front.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that helps to put you guys in a position of having an option, an option to deal with it.
Yes.
An option to know if that's something that I can handle the back and forth with.
Right.
If I can deal with what that comes with. Right.
Right.
There's something I saw today. It was a card set, and I wish I would have snapped a photo or something, but it was a card set for, it looked like it was geared towards people who had been in relationships for a amount of time. I'm sure a quick Google, a little bit of Googling to help pull it up, but it was a deck of cards that had questions,
right,
to ask the significant other, right? Or, and it seemed almost like it could be maybe used for somebody in the beginning, but it was questions like, you know, what could I do to help strengthen your trust in this,
right,
or for you to feel supported, you know, those type of questions,
right.
And yeah, I got to try to look that up because I feel like stuff like that, you know, sitting down and having a game night, have you a few drinks in the front and put these out on the table and go back and forth and really see what somebody has to say. These are hard hitting questions that get under the surface outside of just, you know, what do you like to eat? You know, those type of things.
And they force people to really take a look into themselves, you know, and I think that's the most important aspect of this all.
Yes.
You know, people are, you know, getting in unions and not even having an idea of what, who they are and what they're bringing to the table or why they're here or what they want, or even deeper, what I notice is that, I mean, you got to think that with so many different variations of people, where they're from, their race, their gender, their culture, their interests, the table talk they had, parental, brother, you know, any type of influence or role models, with all those differences being, you know, so prevalent, there is a huge disparity in the way people define relationships.
Right, right.
And I don't think, and, you know, oftentimes people get together, they make a commitment, they try to build a family, and never once had they each really sat down and defined what exactly is a relationship to me and what is one to you. You know, I mean, I never, you know, people never have these conversations. And, you know, for a man like myself, and, you know, other people that just are aware of themselves, I mean, we more than willing to have these conversations, you know, but people are really scared of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I met a lot of people in my time that were really, really scared to have a deep conversation because they didn't want anything to force them to have to look at themselves.
You know,
and a lot of times I feel like they, you know, they want to get up under the covers of something that's strong, you know, something that has its own light so they can define themselves by that. So that's why they're so quick to tell somebody, this is who I'm with, so you know I'm okay. You know, even if it's not healthy, you know, they get a lot of identification from that. That's how they identify with they self and how they explain their relationship without having to dive into they self, you know, and that's, it's really not healthy because in the long run it's going to come out. And, you know, and you really can't, you can't really hide your character, you
tell
know.
Tell them.
I got a concept that I call the helium water under balloon principle.
What's that?
Basically, you know, a lot of times when you first meet people, you know, is equivalent, I feel like, to holding a helium balloon underwater.
Okay.
In which, in due time, you know, you actually forget you're holding it. You know, and as the balloon comes to the surface, you know, so does your true character. And that's what, you know, we got to judge on, you know. So it's a lot easier to keep it floating up top in the beginning, you know. And
y'all hearing this?
Yeah, right. Y'all hearing this? And oh yeah. And also, we want to make sure people can call in. I mean, we know this is, we don't want to do all the talking, but we know it's a sensitive subject. It's serious. We know a lot of people go through it, and we try to have conversations on here that we know affect a multitude of people, so that we can, you know, start to generate, you know, some awareness on all sides. You know, so the number is 503 231-8187. Feel free to call in, chat, give us your experience, advice, tell us what you think about the show, about the topic, you know, whatever. But
yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. But, you know, so that's just a big part of the way I see it, man. And, you know, it's never easy, but it's like, it's just, I see so many people just really, really hurting, and like they first recourse is to dive up under another person.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the age old thing that's been thrown out there, is the quickest way to get over someone is to get up under someone else.
Right. And that's just the quickest way to keep yourself confused about exactly who you are, because you need time. You know, I really feel like the most eligible bachelor and bachelorettes are people that have been independent and lived by themselves for quite some time.
Right.
You know, you want people who know theyself, you know, who can have no problem explaining to you who they are, what they do, what they believe in, what they expect, and what they plan to give, and where they see the future at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't answer those questions, then you might not be ready for all that, you know, and no jumping into any situation is going to help you expedite the process of knowing yourself.
It's just covering it up. It's giving you something to focus on outside of self.
So, I mean, you know, so as far as the actual subject, which is the whole breakup and, you know, dealing with that, I've dealt with that several times, you know, or a couple of times. I'm not going to say several. It don't count when you're in third grade.
Hey.
But I'm going to still get you. Nah. But, you know, just, oh, did you?
No, I'm just, we jumping into, I've got some stuff from feedback from the listeners.
Yeah. So, yeah, we posed a question, you know, on the social medias to calculate a conversation on IG and the Facebook page, and just wanted to get people's ideas on some of their coping tactics and methods for, you know, breakup or, you know, confusion in relationships and whatnot. Because, you know, that'll really drain the person, you know. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, going to your friend's house who just lost their relationship and the energy that they have, and knowing you can't do nothing about it, and seeing how broken they are, and they forget that there's a whole world out there. But at that moment, that is their whole world, exactly. And they just split in half.
Exactly.
You know, and it really, really drains people. It's caused some people to, you know, go in depression. It's caused some people to use drugs. It's caused some people to kill themselves, you know. And so,
and don't be the friend that just drag people out to go do extra stuff that's not conducive to helping them heal.
Right. And so, I don't know. I mean, real, you know, like real quick, I just, you know, let's get into what the people said. But number one, I mean, I just really think that people need to spend time alone. And like, you really should be spending at least a year or two. I mean, that's not realistic, but, you know, you should be spending at least a year completely alone, you know. Even if you date off and on, I mean, you're human. I don't expect that not to happen. Yeah. But I mean, just like to dive into a relationship and then, you know, start posting it and telling everybody, like, right after you just got out of a toxic situation.
It takes 10,000 hours to master a skill.
Yeah,
y'all so, can't be in love every 3 months.
Right, so take some time for yourself, you know. Get to learn yourself. Figure out where you messed up at, you know. My biggest thing was, what did I do wrong? That's what helped me.
That part.
You know, I had to stop looking at them and figure out what I did wrong.
Right.
And I realized, you know, the couple times that, you know, I got messed up was I allowed people to tell me when I should be ready for a relationship. You know what I'm saying? And when I felt like it was a bad idea, that I didn't know you well enough, you know, sometimes females can be really pushy about, you know, like getting it locked down and making sure you off limits and you let everybody know, and I'm going to tell the whole world. And meanwhile, y'all don't even have nothing healthy.
Hey.
You know, like, why am I locking the door if ain't nothing inside?
Hey.
But so what do some of the people say, man?
You know, so on that topic, of course, the number one answer in different forms was sex. That was...
Wait, what?
And I feel like people were just, you know, trolling again. It's my page. So getting people in there. Got a few people that said music. Listening to music, which I feel like I understand that, right? For people, artists who really put their life on paper, you know, put or in song form and are reaching in, it's essentially their diary. And their situations, you know, can help people inspire because they feel like somebody else has went through this.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, music definitely touches on stuff that makes you feel like that's my situation. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yikes, they explained that to a T. Right? So get that part of people going through. Had somebody say blocking their ex on all platforms.
That works for me.
Yeah, same. It's a Get them out of
there. Oh, you blocked them too?
I mean, it's like, I pull it out. It's like, it's not a thing. I just want to see. Because I feel like that's where, you know, the weird, like, subs and, you know, it can get weird.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I see it too much on other people's. Like, I'm sure you've been a part of somebody's breakup and see both of their sides of it at the same time, but they don't see each other's. And it'd just be a lot of left, right, left, right. Daily meditation and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Right.
Working out and surrounding yourself with good, positive people.
Right.
They highlighted, not the friends that want to take you out and just make you feel something in the moment.
Right.
I like that. Somebody said therapy or journaling to identify the root of the emotion and understanding the state in which you're in right then.
Right.
Coupled with self-reflection and time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kind of, you know, seem like the common overall arching theme through most of the feedback. And there are some little parts that expanded on that a bit more. But essentially, it's, in my opinion, taking that time to document, right? That's where journals come in.
Right.
Because in the moment, being able to explore your emotion and your feeling, that's something to go back on, because time does a couple things, right? It heals, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also turns down some of what you remember about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if it's something that you're really, this is something I'm done, right? And you're really moving forward and so on, you've got something to reflect on in those moments of feeling something different that may not match up with how you actually feel.
Right.
And that's something to be able to go back and remember that moment, right?
Right.
And I think that I think that works in reverse too, right? I think that also works in reverse before a situation of being at a breakup. Is, you know, if you're journaling and also talking about your highs and not just your lows, because I'm also an advocate for not only going to your friends and family with the things that go wrong in a relationship, right?
Right,
like
right.
When you're with somebody and you just complain, but you're never really sharing the highlights, then you're kind of building this whole thing of what's wrong as opposed to the many things that go right. So I think being able to have kind of some documentation of those highs too when you're in a relationship for those, you know, things may have been great for 4 months and then you had a bad week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a week that just wasn't hitting. If you have a journal, that's something to be able to look back in and see, like, okay, it's not like this all the time.
Because
the thing about us getting in the moment of being upset or feeling some kind of way, we project that as this is what it feels like,
and
right?
We ready to throw away everything.
Everything over that moment, right? That moment in time, that a nap,
right?
A good walk. And that goes into, like, the idea of healthy boundaries, as we talk about, right? And it's like, and I've said this for myself in situations of, like, that blind side of we're here, we're being regular, but you had something on your mind all day. I had no idea it was there. And then you hit me out of nowhere like, hey.
Right.
And I might need a minute. Like, let me process what was just said. And a lot of times that's not met with a, you know, okay. But that's a boundary. Let me have a second to get my thoughts so I can have a talk with you.
Right.
You know, I just gave somebody some advice before walking in here and had to text them and let them know, like, you know, they said they had a difficult conversation they needed to have with a significant other. Make sure you sit down and hit your bullet points, right? So therefore, when your emotions start playing up, depending on how that conversation goes, you have your bullet points on what you wanted to address so that if your emotion starts taking you too far left, too far right, you can get back centered with what was in front of you because it's easy to lose the point.
Right.
Easy to lose the point. So I think that taking some of those things into account where you are noting things down and not just relying on your non-emotional brain to think that it's going to operate the same way that your emotional brain is going to operate.
Right.
Because that's where we end up losing. And it's a lot of great things that have probably been thrown out, things that have been said, things that have been done in a moment of that frustration that make it hard to build from that point. Right.
Right.
I think that in addition to all of that, the idea of just having that time, right? Learning to rock with yourself for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's important. It really is.
Yeah.
And the people that you do come into contact with and deal with, being up front with them about that, like, this is a little bit of time. Like, I'm not, right now, we're not about to jump into a relationship right now.
Right.
This is what I came from. This is what I'm building on. Need this bit of time, this bit of space to enjoy. Like, of course, we enjoy interaction and so on. So it's not, don't become a hermit, because I think that can be detrimental too.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely giving yourself that that space to be able to grow from it and be able to have conversations. And if the people you're coming across are at a point of maturity that they can understand that and respect that, you could have some great relationships, you know, moving forward, whether that's a friendship or an actual, you know, intimate relationship.
Right.
You can have that, but it is that dialogue and having to put that out up front. And at least if somebody starts to go a different way, you have that. Like, we have this discussion.
Right.
And therefore, a feeling can be hurt, but it's not hurt based on lack of information.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And that's what we got to get comfortable with, that information. So, real quick, again, the number is 503-231-8187. Feel free to call us. Tell us how you got over it or what advice or suggestions that you do have for anybody that's struggling with a heartbreak.
Yes.
Because it is one of the toughest things in the world. But I think, you know, just to go deeper, you know, away from heartbreak and, again, back to relationships and the reason why hearts get broken. I mean, you know, I feel like unhealthy situations, toxic situations come from, again, one or two people getting into a union or an arrangement, and they really don't have the capacity to really care about anyone else. You know, I think to break it down, that's really, well, I can't say the capacity, because maybe they do, but they're maybe not showing it in this situation for some reason or another. Or maybe, you know, and a lot of times, you know, people get into situations for every other reason but us having a healthy connection. I need a place to live, you know. I need a place to live. I need sex. I've known you for 20 years. You know, you know my sister. You know, like, oh, she know my sister and stuff, man. So I went in and married her. You know, but you know, people are getting into relationships and they really don't exercise concern for other people, and your partner is going to feel that. And when they feel that, they're going to say something to you. They should. Hopefully they, you know, initiate a conversation try to understand why they feel in this way. You know, and this is your opportunity to let them know that either you do care or you don't. You know, and that's really what it comes down to. It ain't always the fact that there's a misunderstanding, but when it's time to clarify where this come from and why it happened and what does it mean for us,
right,
people are unwilling to care and unwilling to talk about that and kind of face, you know, some of their lack of, you know, consideration. And so, like, if you don't care about people, if you just really don't really like to really hear what other people are going through, and you really don't want to have to, you know, appease somebody about something that you think that don't affect you, and then, you know, just stay out of it. You know, just date. Don't sign contracts. Don't tag each other on Facebook. Don't do none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Just have some fun and enjoy yourself. Be single, but date, you know, quietly, I guess.
Hey.
You know, because, I mean, people are getting hurt. Their hearts are being broke, and people are becoming damaged, and it's damaging, you know. And a lot of these people, these people who have kids, they're parents.
Hey.
You know, a lot of that damage get passed on to the kids, you know, like how many people are arguing and fighting. Like, some people get so emotional, they don't care who they fight and arguing in front of, you know. Kids see the whole thing sometimes, and they start to define that as a relationship. And when they get older, they see no problem with that either, you know. And so these are things that people have to consider. You know, it's not just you. It's you know, the things that we do and we say and how we act, especially, you know, when we got a family or a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody that's affected by that, you know, and it's our best bet to know who's all affected, you know, and try to make decisions that, you know, complement everybody involved so that they don't feel like, you know, we doing this for ourselves or that we completely out of touch with anybody else's concerns, you know, or feelings.
You know, something to take to in that, when you separate and there's a relationship that comes to an end, is to also take time to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you're doing the reflection, you also are doing the reflection of what could have been done on your end. At least I'm hoping it's a reflection that is not just being put on the other person, but also forgiving yourself for the moments where you're like, oh, I was dumb for this.
Right.
I should have, if you did what felt right in that moment.
Right.
And you may have did things that didn't feel right in that moment, mm-hmm. but you went with your best decision-making skills in that moment.
Right.
That doesn't make you less than.
No. Nope.
That doesn't make you wrong. You just went with what you thought would work.
Right. Intentions.
Intentions, right? You know, with that, something that I asked as a follow-up to that question was asking people, what could you improve on in your current or future relationships and why? And that was kind of dope. Didn't get as much feedback because I think people were thinking what could be improved in their relationship as a whole, like just the dirt in there, right, as opposed to your individual thing. And what I took it as, because somebody responded with, it responded on one of the platforms with that this could shake stuff up. And I was like, nah, that's not where it's coming from. It's the idea to me that it's like, if I say I'm about to start working out, right? Mm-hmm. And I make that proclamation and I put that out for all my people to know. I'm putting it out there because I want to be held accountable, right? I want people to call me out if I'm not doing that thing after I've already said this is what I'm going to do. and then understanding where self and the things that you would like to strengthen, that I don't think is necessarily giving dirt on or giving somebody the inside tips on something necessarily going wrong. It's right. just something you would like to build on and improve on in your situation. But reached out with that. A couple of the answers I got back, one was prioritize the friendship portion of the courting and making very clear the emotional needs.
Right, right.
Emotional vulnerability and saying what's on the mind in that moment, just in order to avoid the assumptions.
Right.
And then had another person talk about using the reflection after a relationship ending as far as what could have been different from a personal standpoint, what could have been done different, and taking that into account with what you don't want going into the next thing and being more vocal about what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about what we do want.
Right.
But rarely do we mention, we just assume that what we don't want is the opposite. But sometimes, no, you explicitly state, you know, some of the things that you don't want, which again can be uncomfortable, or you may just take it, not even uncomfortable, you may just take it that it's a given.
Yeah, I mean, so many conversations have to take place. And again, I just don't think that a lot of times people realize how much you actually have to talk, you know, like you have to communicate, you have to relate. It's a relationship. And not only communicate, like they always say, even deeper, you have to comprehend
that part,
you know. And that's the most difficult thing to do when you was raised in a completely different environment or mindset, you know. And so, like, and one thing I do understand, I mean, you know, we may not be used to certain, you know, things or certain conversations, or even make certain topics may not even be important to us, but you know, if you truly, truly care about somebody and you want to be with them and you want to stay with them, you will talk about the thing that's frustrating them. You know, you will try to figure out what you can do on your end to sort of bring some clarity to that, especially if it's something that you might be unintentionally doing.
Right.
Like, that's something you could probably fix pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, I do understand that it's difficult for people to want to be accountable for things that they didn't intend on happening. Mm-hmm. That's also a major, major key in a relationship. You don't have to have bad intentions to impact somebody in a negative fashion. You just have to not be, you know, directive and calculated in your action, maybe by no fault of yours, you know, but that don't mean there's nothing wrong with you. That means there's room for a conversation. So that's not a conversation you want to run from because your intentions were good. That's not going to always save you. You know, and that's something that we forget. That's something that's
I've forgotten it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, me too. Yeah, I forget that and I'll still forget it, you know. Yeah. And, you know, and don't think that because we talking about it, we don't go through it. But I just know it, and it's still harder to apply, you know, than it is to just speak. But I do know it, and so I do have to say it, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we all have to work on it, you know, in our own capacity. But that's one of the things that people, you know, struggle with, you know, trying to be accountable for things that they didn't intend, you know. And you know, and you got to go to limit, and you got to try to figure out where the mishap was that caused you to give that energy to this person that you don't want to lose.
Right.
You know, and so if you got somebody you don't want to lose, you know, you really have to treat them like you don't want to lose them.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you will. And sometimes keeping a situation positive, or at least growing from the misunderstanding. Sometimes it just take a little bit of listening and a little bit of concern, and for people to feel that you do have some concern in your voice, that you're not trying to just get past something, but you're trying to care about it and why it got here, and you don't want it to get this way again either.
Hey.
So you're willing to do what it takes, hey. You know, and so
lay it on the table.
And you know, and that's just a lot of stuff that we all go through and we all see, but we definitely got to be conscious of that. And if you don't want to do all that work, that's fine, but just don't tell nobody that you're going to be with them and that you can be with them and that you got the capacity to handle a relationship when you really don't, because you have to relate.
Yep.
You know, and that's what we forget from time to time. So
with that being said, we got our listeners to chime in and give their piece. Now I want to ask you.
What's up?
What could you improve on in a future relationship?
Man, I would say patience. Mm. A lot of my issues, I think, stem from the fact that I think too fast and I calculate too fast. Mm. You know, sometimes it's lightning speed, and it's uncomfortable for people, you know, and especially they haven't been exposed to that.
Right.
And so I have to learn to relax and, you know, let people slow down and let people get it on their own accord, if that's possible.
Right.
You know, sometimes they just can't get it, you know, but mm-hmm. but I have to not take that personal.
Right.
You know, and sometimes I just have to protect my energy a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have faith in people, you know, and sometimes that's not always fair to them, mm-hmm. you know, especially when they're not aware of what you even have faith in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, naturally we feel like, well, you know, if we can think about this stuff, then everybody else can think about it, you know, yeah. and that's just not the way it is. And it's just not natural to some people. And even if you break it down clearly, it still won't resonate, you know, on some level. I mean, to really, really be concerned, you know, almost on every aspect about how you make other people feel is a challenge. And most people really can't conquer that challenge. And so there's always going to be a little bit of turmoil, you know. And me, I just got so used to not dealing with that stuff that I just don't want to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And I'm not saying that's fair, but
right.
it's like I know it and I practice it. And so if the relating isn't there, if we can't have a conversation about things that's uncomfortable, you know.
Then what?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, like we can't make it comfortable, you know, and so it's going to always be like this. And you know, sometimes people just don't work out, and, you know, and that's been hard having to accept that part. I couldn't work out with people that I really wanted it to work out with. But sometimes, you know, the awareness and the definitions of relationships aren't parallel. So,
hey.
But patience for me, you know, being a spitfire thinker and speaker, you know, and be able to break down exactly how
skill.
I feel, and me having no problem being transparent and, you know, being upfront and direct. I mean, it is it's crazy for some people, you know. So I feel for some people that even trying to deal with me sometimes,
right.
you know, because they don't really expect any person to really be doing all that, you know.
What's interesting about your answer, and it made me think of something that somebody had commented, and I call her Mama Sherry, been married 41 years, and the piece she gave was, we still got to be super sensitive to what we're conveying to each other in our body language and our words.
Mm-hmm.
Love takes constant attention, plus never fight in anger. You're never there to hurt your partner. You're there to be honest.
That's right.
And I think that comes to what you said. Your brain is going, and you're answering. You're bringing this on it, but it's coming in a way that may translate in a way to them,
right,
that seems this or that, and have an understand how do they respond to this posture,
mm-hmm.
this tone. You know what I mean? To mm-hmm. you, it might just be, I'm just saying,
right,
I'm
might just
being
be
direct.
Flowing.
You know,
yeah.
I've had to have think about a conversation I had to have a car. There's a difference between being direct and being upset.
Mm-hmm.
Two different things,
mm-hmm.
you know. So having that clarification, but also taking that feedback, like, okay, I got to understand that this is affecting that way.
Right.
I think if that question was posed on me, it goes to the idea of having to make sure to have the transparency all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And I always say this, I've dialed this in, is that for so long of separating home and outside of home,
mm-hmm.
living a lifestyle for a certain amount of time, where I didn't let those cross over because it was safer, right? And understanding that coming into the now, like, I'm not in that. So keeping this blocked off and not having so many details, you know, not giving the information essentially, thinking that with certain things it's protecting whatever type of feelings or emotions may arise if I talk about this or I talk about that, realizing that that's not protecting, that's only adding to what's becomes insecurity. That's just adding to that.
Yeah.
And picking that up took me a while to understand, where it kept being like, oh, I think I'm doing a good thing, right? I'm keeping this kind of conflict out of the mix. And then realize, no, I'm building that conflict up to become a whole thing and become the thing. And so taking that into account, where now it's like, this is everything, right? This is everything. And so throwing it out there, and again, it goes back to that idea. Now you have the option. You deal with it or you don't.
Right.
So we're getting on that last leg of this. Just got that 2 minutes and dialing.
Right.
One minute. Uno momento, por favor. With that being said, y'all make sure to reach out. If you didn't get through on a call, go ahead and hit us on the socials. David, drop the socials because you got that Spitfire.
All right. We at IG, Calculated Conversation, Facebook, Calculated Conversation Radio Show. Website, www.calculatedconversation.com.
Bam.
Gmail, calculatedconversation at Gmail.
Bam.
Twitter, at Calculated Talk.
Talks.
Google, Calculated Conversation. iTunes, Calculated Conversation. Yes. Calculated Conversation.
Everything.
Calculated Conversation.
With that being said, you guys have a great evening.
Appreciate you guys. See you next Tuesday. Or you will hear us next Tuesday. And we out.
Capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex. Cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. For the pop chart, so where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track,
what up,
drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records I spin again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians cuss at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. No, but you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread yourself.
This is KBOO Portland.
Got the club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up.